Well, we're going to look in the book of Ephesians. No, we're not. We're looking. I was thinking about another message I was going to preach. We're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. At least I hope that's where we're at. What's the lesson say? We'll be able to find out here. Now, continuing in faith in 2018 is the title of the message tonight. For those who would rejoice because school is closed tomorrow. It is closed tomorrow. Amen. Pastor Duana sent out a text and all that to let everybody know, and I thought I heard thunder, but it was actually all the kids roaring that they were glad that school was closed. And storm's supposed to be pretty bad for what they're saying. The best way not to have a bad storm like that is for me to close school early, and then it doesn't snow. So that's why I did that. There is a method to my madness. Continuing in faith in 2018, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium and Lystra." I said, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that if from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Our text verse is verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." What a wonderful passage that Paul's speaking to young Timothy, and he is always helping Timothy and Titus and many of the other young men who would become pastors and leaders in the church, of knowing how that they ought to live and how they ought to deal with situations in life, and certainly how to conduct themselves in ministry. And I believe this is a great challenge to us tonight, as Paul really lays out his heart to Timothy and desires of Timothy to continue on. He doesn't want them to fall by the wayside. He wants them to be faithful. He wants them to succeed in his ministry and in his Christian life. And certainly God wants us to do that in 2018. You know, men will wax worse and worse. And yes, people will be deceived. And yes, there will be difficult situations that we have to go through. But we must continue on in the faith. And if we're going to be able to have a generation that follows after us, that are going to live for God and love God, then they need to see that we're committed and faithful to follow through and be committed to the Lord also. And I think it was Robbie Zacharias said that integrity is continuing to do the things that you were committed to doing even when your circumstances change. And circumstances in life do change. And you have good situations, you have negative situations. Life is always changing. But what makes the difference is whether or not we're going to continue in the faith, irregardless of what the circumstances are. And so let's look at a few things here in this chapter that Paul speaks to Timothy. Notice the challenge to Timothy. The challenge is to continue. The word challenge there in the Greek is in the present tense. And so the present tense in the Greek carries with it the concept of continuing on, not stopping, but continuing on at the present time. And it's in the active voice, and the active voice is the subject is doing the action. And so this is not something that the Lord is doing for Timothy. This is something that Paul is challenging Timothy, you need to be continuing on at this very moment in the things that you've learned. It's in an imperative mood, which is a command. So Paul's not making a suggestion to Timothy, hey, Timothy, I think this may be a good idea if you continue on in the faith, which it is a good idea to continue on in the faith. But that's not what he's doing. He's giving them a command to follow. And I remember old Dr. Vandeman years ago used to say the Bible is not a book of better ways, it's a book of commands. And so here it is in the imperative mood that Timothy is being challenged. Listen, don't give up, don't quit, continue on in the faith. So he says, continue. Notice not just the challenge to Timothy, but you see the conscience of Timothy. He said, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. And the word learn there is in the aorist tense. You get some grammar here tonight. Amen. And I won't charge you any extra. But anyway, aorist tense. An aorist tense is just simply this. There is an action that has begun at some point in time. So literally what Paul is doing is telling Timothy, now wait a minute, there was a point in time when you learned something. And because you learned it, he says, then you need to continue on in it. And once again, it's in the active voice. So it is the subject of the sentence that's doing the action. And so we ought to be learning. Not like Paul warned, he said, they're ever learning, but ever never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And a lot of people are spinning their wheels, running into all kinds of different directions, pursuing all kinds of concepts about God, and they're never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And so what we've learned, according to the word of God, we're to continue in those things. So he gives him a challenge. He recognizes his conscience, that he has learned these things. And then number three there is simply the confidence in Timothy. He says in verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. The word assured of is in the aorist tense, but it's in the passive voice. In other words, the things that he was assured of, he got from somebody else. He learned from Paul these things, and it's in the indicative mood, which indicative mood is a statement of fact. And so he's not saying, I hope you learn these things. I hope that you've been assured of these things. But he's saying, I'm stating that the reality is you have learned these things. And so it's so great to see how Paul deals with Timothy in knowing how to continue in the faith. We live in days of noncommittal, yet Christians are to be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4 and 2 says, moreover, it's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. I think the greatest thing, a greatest attribute in the life of a Christian is just being faithful to the things that we've learned in the scriptures, whether we've learned them through our own study in the word or we've learned it because someone discipled us or someone came alongside and mentored us. We're to continue in the things that we've learned. We're not to start and then stop and start and stop and then fall by the wayside and then come back to the Lord. We're to continue faithfully day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. And so Paul is challenging Timothy to continue in faith in 2018 is the challenge to us. Notice, first of all, by individual example. In other words, Paul is just simply saying this, you have someone that you can follow the example. I'm thankful there are people that I can look to be an example of what a Christian is. In verse 10, he says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and at Iconium and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. And so Paul is reminding Timothy, you can continue in the faith because you have someone you can look to as being an example for you. And you need to be an example for somebody to follow. But you ought to have someone else that you can look to as an example. And sometimes I feel like, well, you know what, it's just preaching has been preaching a long time. Maybe it's time to pack it in. And I think of men like, you know, different Bobby Robinson or Dr. Malone or Lee Robinson or some of these guys. I mean, they're in their 90s and they're driving. Dr. Lee Robinson, I was at a conference. He was 91 years old and he drove to the conference. And I'm like, good night. I'm glad I'm not traveling the road he's traveling on. Amen. But, I mean, he was 91, 92 years old and still preaching. And it's just amazing how God used these different men. That's an example for me to look at. When I feel like I want to give up or I feel like I'm tired out, I feel like I want to quit, I look at them and say, why should I quit? Look at the examples that I have to follow. And then I'm reminded, well, wait a minute, there's somebody watching me. And so I ought to be an example for them to follow. And so Paul's telling Timothy, listen, you need to continue in the faith. One reason is just simply because you have an individual example to follow. So the Apostle Paul, notice he says, thou hast fully known my doctrine. Doctrine is simply just what you believe. I just wanted to do a very practical message tonight. But what we believe, you need to know what you believe and why you believe it and be able to communicate it to somebody else. And the greatest thing you can do to someone or for someone is to simply know what you believe and be unwilling to compromise on what you believe. And it's been amazing over the years, 30-some years I've been saved, and just how many times people come in with false doctrine. How many times people will introduce to me opportunities to go to some conference, and I'm like, no, these people that are there, they're heretics. What they're teaching is not biblical, so why would I go there? Oh, it's really great. We have a great time together. Well, what are you learning? You're not learning anything that's going to help you, so why should I go there and compromise my faith, what I believe? It's important to me what I believe. And I'm not going to compromise what I believe. And so Paul says, you have an example because you know my doctrine. And I liked when my dad, when we were growing up, my dad always used to say, I don't need to tell my kids what I think. They already know what I think. And I did, you know, and I knew what his response was going to be. And I want to live my Christian life where people already know what I believe. And they know that I'm not going to go along with something that's not in line with what I believe. Paul says, you know what manner of man I've been in reference to my doctrine, what I believe. But also he goes on to say manner of life. The word manner of life is just simply how he lived. He said, you know how I lived. And may I say this, people know how you live. And especially in 2018. Because everybody posts on the internet what you're doing all the time. Oh, I'm going to go to the kitchen and get a cup of coffee. You know, I just threw the dog outside. I know it's cold, but he's going to stay out there. I'm mad at the dog. Oh, my kids just colored on the wall. Who cares? You know, we tell everybody whom we don't even know what we're doing because we post everything on the internet. Well, people know how you're living even before you had the internet and before you did all those things. And Paul's just simply saying this, you know my manner of life. And may I say is people, listen, people know even without you posting it, they know how you live. They know whether you get up on Sunday morning and go to church. They know whether you're screaming and hollering and yelling at the kids in the house because they hear you, amen? They know what is important to you. And so he says, you have an example to follow. You know my manner of life. And he's just challenging Timothy, as he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, be ye followers of me as I also follow Christ. And so Paul wanted to demonstrate a manner of living that would be positive and life-changing in Timothy's life. Not only a manner of life, but he says purpose. The word purpose is just simply where he was focused. What's your purpose in life? You know, before I got saved, I didn't have any purpose in life. I mean, anything that came up, I was going, they always used to say when people met different friends, saw me, relatives, well, Mike, which way is the wind blowing today? And I did. I didn't have any purpose in life. I was trying to find direction. I was trying to find purpose. And I just grasping at straws, anything and everything that I could get connected with, I was going after it. But when I got saved, God gave me direction. When I got saved, the Lord gave me purpose. And I've tried and I strive to stay focused on what it is that God is calling me to do and what God is calling me to accomplish in my life. Stay focused. 2018, there's going to be plenty of distractions to draw you away from God's purpose for your life. Stay focused on the Lord so that you might be able to continue in faith. So he says purpose. He also says not only my purpose, but faith. The word faith is the exercise of trust with conviction. Conviction. Conviction is something that you're willing to die for. And he's saying, you know my faith. Paul's faith was so strong, he trusted so completely in his Savior, he would not compromise who he was to fit in with the culture. He would not compromise who he was to get along with people. He literally had a conviction that, wait a minute, he was a Christian and now he lived for Christ. His life was not his own and he was crucified with Christ. He understood he was dead unto himself. He was alive unto his God and he lived his life with that conviction. We're living in an era where there's no convictions about anything. There's no convictions about, I don't know, who you go, where you go, what you watch, who you interact with. There's no conviction about anything. You say, well, church is going on, and people say, well, okay, well, I might be there and I might not. You know, years ago, my wife and I got a conviction when we got saved. When the church doors were open, we were there. And we still are there. And a lot of times people look at it and you say, well, yeah, it's easy for you to say because you're the pastor. You got to be here, you know. No, I was faithful to church and convicted about church before I became a pastor. And I've just always had the conviction that the Bible's the Word of God. I've always had the conviction that what's found in the Word of God is relevant for the day. I'm not going to compromise my convictions. My faith has to be strong in the Lord. If He is the Savior of the world and He is the only way to go to heaven, then I've got to have a conviction about that. We got to be willing to die for what we believe in. You know, it's amazing that, Islam is such a violent faith, but people are being drawn to it. Why are they being drawn to it? Because what they say they believe, they're convicted about it. And they won't compromise for anybody, for any reason, what they say they believe. But we say we're a Christian and we'll go along with anything. We'll embrace anything new thing that comes down the pike. I remember when Promise Keepers came out years ago. That was back when I first came here, 23 years ago. And everybody was all caught up in this thing. Everybody, oh, Promise Keepers. Oh, that's what the answer to Christianity is, Promise Keepers. Why don't we go to Promise Keepers and all this, that, and the other? And I had so many people get mad at me because I told them this is just going to be a passing, a wind in the breeze. That's all it's going to be. And listen, and all it is some new gimmick to write some new books to be able to make money off of people. And that's, let me tell you, that's all it built, that's all it was. You see it anywhere? You see anything going on with it? No, you don't see anything. And why? Because everything about it was to compromise for this group and compromise for this group and compromise for that group. And we all got together, get together. Don't worry about your convictions. Where does it go? It doesn't go anywhere. Paul's saying, you know my faith and what I believe about Jesus Christ, what I believe about the Lord and believe about the Christian life. We need to be convicted about that, that's important for us to fulfill. Notice he said long-suffering. Long-suffering is his patience and steadfastness. And it was Paul that wrote, be ye therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Paul was steadfast. He was committed to a Savior. He's committed to his life as a Christian, and he would not bend and would not be drawn away by anything that would come down that would capture his heart for his focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. He was steadfast. And we just need to be in there steadfast, always abounding, never being moved, never being shaken, and just saying, well, wait a minute, the Lord's still with me, he's still on my side, then I need to just keep going on, because 2018 is going to deal you some things that you're going to be shook up about. And if you don't resolve in your mind to be long-suffering, being patient, being steadfast, you're going to stumble and fall to the wayside. Notice not long-suffering, but also charity. We know the word charity there is agape. It means love. It means it's a sacrificial type of love. And we need to love one another with a sacrificial love. We need to love the unsaved with a sacrificial love. Our theme for the new year is reaching out. And we want to reach out into our community. And if we have a agape love for the lost, we'll have no problem whatsoever going up and talking to somebody about Christ. If we have an agape love, we'll have no problem whatsoever of sacrificing some of our time in order to reach out and minister to somebody in the church. If we have an agape love, we'll have no problem whatsoever of saying, I want to be involved and be used by the Lord within the ministry within the church, a sacrificial love. Paul says, you know my charity, but also patience. Notice patience is his perseverance. And it kind of goes along with the idea of long suffering, but this has more of an idea of just when you don't feel like getting up, you get up and keep going. When you don't feel like you want to go to church, you get up and go to church anyway. When you don't feel like talking to somebody, you know, there's times I've gone out soul winning. I got to be honest with you. I just didn't feel like going soul winning. But I have found this. If I don't make myself do those simple things as a Christian, persevere through those situations, then what happens? It just becomes a type of lifestyle that never accomplishes anything for God. So you have to persevere. And the Christian life is not always easy. And so you just have to keep going on. Just keep doing it. And why? Because you keep going ahead, you're going to reap. Paul said, be not weary with well-doing. Why? He said, because you'll reap in due season if you faint not. You say, well, things just aren't working out right now. Then just keep at it. Just keep at it. Give God a chance to work in your life, his perseverance. Persecutions just means enduring persistent hostility. Enduring persistent hostility. And the world is becoming more and more hostile towards the Christian faith. And so just acknowledge it. The days are going to get worse and worse. And people are going to be deceived. And people are going to get hurt. But wait a minute, that's a part of the Christian life. So I'm just going to keep enduring in the midst of a hostile environment. And so persecutions. The word afflictions, notice he says he had afflictions, means internal and external suffering that he went through. And there are going to be emotional distresses you're going to have to deal with. There are going to be aggressively outward attacks that will come upon you. The amazing thing is that there are enemies within the church and enemies outside of the church. Paul was concerned about the church because when he would leave, he said this, that wolves would enter into the church. And there's always this attack that goes on upon a believer. And Paul just wanted to remind Timothy, you need to continue in your faith because you watched me suffer emotionally. You watched me. My heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved, but yet Israel would persecute their own. The Apostle Paul. He watched the stresses and the difficulties of being stoned and left for dead, the external attacks that he suffered. And listen, he says, you're going to suffer some things in your life, but remember, you have an example to follow. Not just Paul, but the ultimate example was Jesus Christ. So afflictions. Then he said, but the Lord delivered me. And that means he had an undying dependence on God. And listen, I just want to encourage you with this as we go into the new year. God is not going to abandon you. He is not going to give up on you. He knows who you are. He knows what you're going to face before you ever face it. And God, you can depend on God to get you through whatever it is that you have to deal with in 2018. John Wesley said this, do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. And so it doesn't matter in 2018 what you're going to face or what you're going to have to deal with as a Christian. Just keep at it. Paul says there's others who have gone on before you. There's others who have suffered what you're going to suffer. Just keep going on. Martin Luther said it this way. The Christian shoemaker does his duty not by putting little crosses on the shoes, but by making good shoes, because God is interested in good craftsmanship. And sometimes we think if we put a little religious symbol or something, all of a sudden now we're spiritual. No. People aren't looking for that. They're looking for somebody who's real, somebody who is sincere, someone who pours their life into other people, someone who is totally surrendered to Jesus Christ. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for the real deal. And so Paul says, wait a minute, Timothy, continue thou in the faith. Why? Because you do have somebody to follow the example that's been set before you. And there is somebody you can look to and someone that you can be an example. So by individual example, we continue on by biblical exposition. Notice in verse 15 of our text, he says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Through biblical exposition. Number, letter A there. The Bible is just simply this. Childhood literacy. Our children need to know the Bible. You need to read the Bible to your children. You need to help your children memorize the scriptures. You need to have your children in Sunday school, have your children in Awana, have your children go on different activities and be involved in activities, whether teenagers going to camp or whatever it is. The greatest thing you can do for your children is instill the Word of God into their mind and into their heart. I just think of my youngest brother. He's 12 years younger than me. He went to Christian school. I went to public school. He got saved when he was a teenager. I didn't get saved till I was 27 years old. But I'm going to tell you, when you listen to him, the scripture he has memorized and the insight that he has in the scriptures, I'm going to tell you, is far deeper than what I have. And it's because from a child, he started memorizing the scripture. And you start trying to memorize scripture as you get older, and it's more difficult to do so. And you try to comprehend what it's saying, it's more difficult to do so. So let's not sell our children short or our grandchildren short. Let's instill biblical literacy into their minds. One of the things that caught me when I went to Bible college, I was 28 years old when I went to Bible college, and all these 18 and 19-year-olds are in freshman class, and they're asking all these questions in class, and I'm like, I've never heard that question before. That can't be in the Bible. And all these kids are raising their hands, and they know right where it is. I mean, I'm like, good night. I got a long ways to go here to try to catch up with the knowledge that they have in the scriptures. And Paul challenged Timothy to continue on because of the fact what the scriptures he had learned as a child. I saw this quote, it's important to memorize scripture because someday you might not have a smartphone with you to look it up. And we depend on so many things. You know, it's always interesting in class, the students will ask, can we use our calculator in math class? Can we use our calculator? I'm like, you ought to be able to add 2 plus 2 by now, you know? Or they'll ask, can we use our smartphones to look up this and the other on the internet? I'm like, don't you know this stuff? This is easy enough for you to know. And I was telling the day in consumer math, they had to figure out how many ounces were in this cereal box that had 400 grams in it. And I said, so how are we going to do that? I don't know how to do that. I said, are you kidding me? Now we're talking about 10th graders here. 10th graders. I said, does it make sense? You got to figure out how many ounces are in a gram? Now you're all starting to look at me weird. You don't know the answer either, do you? I had to walk them through this whole thing, and I told them, I said, hey, I said, I was making ice cream for New Year's Eve, and I went into the store, and I was trying to find a container. I wanted a 6-quart container because my one mixer makes 6 quarts
of ice cream at one time, and they had all these things up there, and they were saying the container held so many cups. And right away I thought, here I am. I'm like the kids in my class. How many cups are in a quart? What did I do? I pulled my smartphone out and looked it up. Boy, if I didn't have that smartphone with me, I'd be in bad shape. But the sad thing is, too many Christians are in bad shape when it comes to Bible literacy because we don't have our smartphones with us. When we should have had our Bible in front of us, reading it, meditating upon it, memorizing it. But why? Because someday you might need that memory because the Word of God, you might not be able to be legally allowed to carry it someday. And I don't think we're too far away from that. Not only childhood literacy, but also you can continue on if you have scriptural purity. And he challenges him that he needed to walk with the Lord and he needed to be an example to the believers. He had to deal with Timothy on how to live a life of purity. We're to be pure because the Lord is pure. We need to be scripturally pure, not, listen, the world is always changing. And what was, 100 years ago, what was considered modest, it's not even considered to be worn in 2018. And purity is we live our life, we demonstrate how we live so that eyes are drawn to the attention of God. Not that we don't live and dress ourselves and do these different things in a way to call attention to ourselves. We're supposed to be bringing glory to God in heaven. And we're to be pure in our relationship one with another, whether it be in our marriages or whether it be as young people dating or whether it be in our entertainment or whatever. We're supposed to be pure in our thought process and pure in how we live. So not only childhood literacy, but scriptural purity. And then clear soteriology. Oh, I can't even say it tonight. I wanted to be real theological tonight. And it won't roll off my tongue. Soteriology, there you go, which is salvation. So you're a theologian now. You know a great theological term. He says you're able to know the scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. And notice he follows up through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It's important for you to know and be assured of the fact that salvation is through faith in Christ, and that's it. And your children need to know that. In 2018, it would be great to shore that up. And the reason why I say that is there are multitudes of people who say they are Christians who are getting confused about whether they're saved by faith, by grace through faith, or whether they're saved by their works, or whether they're saved because of the fact that they're a part of the elect. I mean, there's so many things that are confusing to people who should know how they got saved. And so if we're going to continue on in our faith in 2018, we need to assure ourselves of those things. And we need to acknowledge those things, and we need to embrace those things. So biblical exposition. It is not about what I think. It is not about the direction of the culture. It is not about what the church down the street teaches. It's about what does the Bible say about it. So biblical exposition. And then the last challenge that he has for Timothy is in verse 16 and 17. How do we do this? We by practical exercise. In verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And so here we have this, the concept of Paul being an example, the Bible being our means of exposition so we know what we believe, and then our good works is a practical way of living out our Christian life. And so what does that mean? It means just keep my doctrine right. So he says all scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, and keep it right.
don't read this stuff that is heresy. Don't listen to so-and-so on the internet. Don't read their books. Keep your doctrine right. I had someone the other day wanted to give me a book, and I told him, I said, no, that book is wrong. The author is wrong. And he said, and the fellow told me, he said, well, no, you need to really read this. I mean, he's just giving his opinion about it. I said, no, I don't want to hear his opinion. I said, I know what the Bible says, and I know what he's presenting in the book that he wrote is contrary to what the Bible says, so why would I waste my time reading something that's heresy? And I told him, matter of fact, I said, you need to leave here and go throw that book in the trash. Why? Because I must keep my doctrine right. There's no room for error. There's no room for compromise. There's no room for change. I've got to keep it right. That's just a practical way of exercising my Christian faith. Notice not only that, but I need to keep my conviction strong. He says the word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. And God convicts us. It's good to be able to experience the conviction of God on your heart when you're reading the Bible. You ever get convicted when you're reading the Bible? You know, I have. I've read the word of God, and I'll tell you, I just felt the conviction of God, and I had to stop and pray and stop because I was weeping, and God convicted my heart. I need to keep my convictions right. I need to keep my convictions strong. You're in church service and preaching is going on. The Spirit of God touches your heart about something. You need to get that thing right because you need to keep your convictions wrong. The reason is because everywhere you go, there's somebody trying to get you to compromise what you believe and your conviction by which you live. So you've got to keep it strong. I can't allow somebody to enter in to the no man's zone. I got a zone that you can't get in there with false doctrine, amen, because I have to keep strong in the convictions that I have. I need to keep my conduct straight. Notice it says for reproof, that's conviction. For correction, that's my conduct being straight. If I'm a Christian, I need to act like a Christian. I need to be a Christian. And I need to help others to see what a Christian is. I need to keep my conduct straight. My dad used to say, right's right. He used to tell me, boy, right's right, wrong's nobody. That's what he used to say to me. And I'm 65 years old. I think I finally know what he meant by that. Right is right. And if you're wrong, you're nobody. It's either right or you're wrong. There is no in between. And so I need to keep my conduct right because there is a right way that I'm supposed to live. I need to keep maturing. He says, for instruction in righteousness. That's continuing to mature. I need to grow in 2018. Have you thought about or have you prayed about, Lord, show me the area where I'm weak spiritually? Have you talked to the Lord about this and said, God, I know you want me to grow and mature. What area do I really need to mature in this year? What really needs to be straightened out in my life? Let me focus on that one thing and get that one thing right. You know, the amazing thing is if we constantly focused on the things that needed to be made right and we got them right, how far along we'd be in our growing process and maturing in the Lord. I need to keep maturing. And then I need to keep my integrity with God. Because it says here for correction, for instruction, in righteousness. In righteousness is my integrity with God. I love what Chuck Swindoll said. He said, few things are more infectious than a godly lifestyle. The people you rub shoulders with every day need that kind of challenge. Not prudish, not preachy, just crackerjack clean living. Just honest to goodness, bone deep, non-hypocritical integrity. And I read that, I said, if that does not describe the need in American culture in 2018, that's what it is. And Christians, they need to see us just be, as they say, down and dirty. I mean, just getting into it,
up to our elbows with living the Christian life so people can see what a Christian is. You say, why is that? Because we want to be practical in living out our Christian life so other people will be hungry to want to be a Christian. It's not walking around condemning people and yelling at people and putting people down and mocking people and making fun of people and condemning people's religions. We already know they're wrong. And they know they're wrong because they have no peace about eternal life. And so let's talk to them about the real deal, and that's Jesus Christ. And so pressing on, continue in faith. Paul says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. There's not one thing I taught you tonight that you don't know. Not one thing. The challenge of the message is just take those things that you already know and let's just keep living in them. Let's keep fulfilling them. Let's keep observing them, because in doing that, we're going to impact a multitude of people as we reach out into our community. Amen. So continue in faith in 2018.